Episode 72. Welcome to the Take Up Code podcast, where you can learn valuable insights and skills in programming. I'm Wahid Tanner and will be your host today. The command behavioral pattern allows you to represent an action that you want to perform as an object that can be copied from place to place and performed at a later time if you want. The best way to become a professional programmer is to start writing code. If you're not actually typing code, building it, and running it, then you're missing more than half of what you need to be doing. Have you considered attending a Take Up Code live class? Text PROGRAM to the short number 44222 and you'll be on your way. The basic description says that this pattern lets you turn requests into objects that you can then provide to other code to run without knowing what is actually happening, that you can add to a list of actions to be performed, and that you can log to record what happened. It also mentions undoing actions. This is a design pattern that is extremely useful if you understand it. If you don't understand it, it's just as easy to ignore. Let's follow our adventurous hero as the player guides the hero along a wilderness path. One very simple command is to move forward. Now, you could write code to move the hero forward when the arrow key is pressed on the keyboard. But what if you also have a controller with thumb pads? Do you duplicate this code in both locations? What if you allow the user to control the hero with a mouse? All these places need to be able to move the hero forward. And we haven't even begun to think about how we would handle an advanced feature that allows players to map buttons of their choosing to various commands. It's obvious that we need something that represents the idea of moving forward, but it's not so obvious what this should be. Before we get too far, I'd just like to point out that this pattern applies to almost any command or action that a user can initiate in your application. From opening documents, saving work done so far, starting over, or changing a preference setting. Anything you can imagine going into a menu bar or any action that the user can initiate through the keyboard. Even actions that might run on a schedule automatically. These are all excellent candidates for the command pattern. So let's say we have some button X that when pressed will cause the hero to move forward. Somewhere there will be code that detects if the X button is pressed. Instead of that code calling some function like move hero forward, what we instead do is first create an abstract base class or an interface called command that has a virtual method called execute. Then we can have a concrete class called move forward command that inherits from the command class and implements the execute method. I'll get to this part in just a moment. The next step is to declare pointers or references to various command instances and name each of these after each of the buttons. The buttons themselves aren't swapped or remapped. It's what happens when the buttons are pressed that the user might want to change. Now, when that code runs to detect if a button is pressed, finds the X button is pressed, it just goes to the object referenced by the button X data member and calls the execute method. What actually gets executed depends on what concrete class this data member references. Not only does this allow commands to be mapped to buttons, but those same commands can be referenced from menu options, from mouse movements, or from finger gestures on a touch screen. This gives you some serious flexibility already. When you set up the object that handles button presses, you can assign specific concrete command objects to each of the data member references. We're all familiar with a computer keyboard and all the letter and number keys, and even the special keys like Enter and Control. But what about those function keys? You might have 12 function keys that can do things like adjust volume or turn on or off Wi-Fi. The command to raise volume can follow this pattern so that 1. The code doesn't have to be duplicated, and 2. It can be made available from different buttons or menu items. There's a lot more that this pattern can do. I've just started to explain its potential. There will be more right after this message from our sponsor. The one thing that all professional programmers share is that we take action. Go ahead, text PROGRAM to the number 44222 now. It's hard, I know, to get started. And if you need some help, then all you need to do is register for one of the TakeUp code-free or paid live classes. You can attend with just your computer and an internet connection from anywhere in the world. These are live workshops instead of just lectures. You get enough lecturing already. These are fun workshops. You have enough boring tasks already. And these are focused on results. Text the word PROGRAM to the number 44222 and you'll be on your way. You can also visit takeupcode.com to begin. Earlier, I said that I'd get back to how the command to move the hero forward actually works. So let's think about this for a moment. Moving the hero forward at first seems fairly easy. First, get the current position and direction that the hero is facing. Then add some reasonable amount to the coordinates and call some method to change the hero's position to the new coordinates. The first problem that comes to mind is how will the move forward command object find the hero? All it knows is that some button somewhere or some menu item wants the hero to move forward. Maybe you could make the hero a singleton so it's available anywhere. Listen to episode 60 for a description of the singleton pattern. You want to be careful with the singleton pattern, though. It's tempting to use it here. If we avoid that temptation, though, we'll get some extra benefits. Right now, we have code that detects button presses calling an execute method on a command object. This seems like it could be trying to do too much and causing problems. If we instead make the code that detects the button presses do that one thing and make sure it does it well, then not only is it easier to test, but instead of calling execute itself, it can just return the command object to some other code. Now we've got code at a higher level that is aware of who the hero is and wants to know if the user is trying to issue any commands. So this code calls the button detection code and gets back a command object. If no button is pressed, then maybe it gets a null pointer or a command that does nothing. The point is that the command hasn't actually been executed yet. The button detection code figures out if there are any buttons pressed and manages the mapping of the buttons to a command object, which it then lets some other code figure out what to do with. This is getting to the real power of this pattern. We've just turned the concept of a command into an object that can be passed around and executed at the correct location or time. What does this do for the move forward scenario? Well, the code that asks for a command knows who the hero is, and all we need to do then is modify the execute method to require a character. Did you catch what just happened? We not only decoupled the command from the button, but at the same time decoupled the command from the target of the command. Now, code can use this command for any character in the game. All the extra background characters probably need to move around too, right? Not just the hero. The move forward command now represents an abstract notion of moving forward, exactly what it should do. It can be reused for different targets. It can be reused for different input mechanisms such as buttons and menus. And it can be mapped to different buttons if the user is left-handed, for example. And the really cool part about this pattern is we're not even close to being done. When a command is executed, it could, if you want to, remember what it did. Then you can make a copy of this command and put it somewhere, such as a list of recently executed commands. Or you could write the commands to a log file. Maybe there's a bug in your code. Well, a log file with the exact sequence of steps that were played would be a huge benefit to the development team to help figure out what went wrong. But here's another idea. If a command can be executed and it knows exactly what changed because of the command, then it can be undone too. Just make the command remember what changed and then provide another method called undo or something like that. And remember that list of recently executed commands? Well, now if you go backwards through that list and call the undo method, you just implemented a very useful undo feature in your application. Trying to implement a general purpose undo feature without using the command pattern would be insane. Thank you for listening. Make sure to check out the other episodes, and if you get value, please give the TakeUp Code podcast a rating, hopefully 5 stars, and a review. I'll select several people who take the time to provide thoughtful reviews, good or bad, and give you a shout-out and a big thank you during our Q&A Fridays. Your support goes a long way to helping this podcast thrive and help others learn how to program. If you have any questions about this episode or even other programming questions, please ask. Just go to takeupcode.com/contact and submit your question. The Q&A Friday episodes are where I'll answer one or more submitted questions. Until next time, keep learning. But even better, keep doing. If you want to learn how to program, then start programming. And you'll learn and get better, and your mind will expand in ways you never thought possible.